Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
Baseball and much more.
You know what that makes you. Larry.
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. A deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it.
Now here are your hosts for the Hot Corner, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch.
Being new to the club, how do you feel about the way things have gone for the Indians so far?
I'm the only winner on the team. The rest of them are losers, either by choice or by birth.
The Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080.
You play ball like a girl!
The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner. Must be a Wednesday. It's nice to be back on the air for once in my life.
I'm just very happy that the ice is almost melted. It actually
what
might
ice?
Be completely melted because it's not Joe. Okay. He came in later. So I came in at normal time today, 12, 1, whatever time it was. And it was still a little icy on the side roads. All the highways were fine. I just assumed since it's been raining all day and in the 40s, it'd be gone. But no.
Oh, well, I mean, comparison to what we've had, much of the ice has melted. But there are just definitely still some patches there. And then the slush.
You know, the slush is fine.
Slushageddon.
Your tire breaks that apart, unlike the ice.
There you go. Hashtag that. Slushageddon 2017.
Well, it's this funny thing with me. If I can be selfish for a moment, it's like over the holiday break, I was covering for, you know, Dirt and Sprague and Primetime, and I had all this great air time, and people were talking to me on the streets. They're like, dude, I heard you, man. That's awesome. And then I'm not on the air for like 4 weeks after.
I'm sure.
We were on 2 weeks ago, weren't we?
I'm sure. Didn't we have our big approached you on the streets.
Didn't we have our big, like, reintroduction to the airwaves 2 weeks ago, and then we got snowed out on last week?
That's what I mean, though. It's like we
so
got momentum.
On
it's like trying to get through the slush. Your car's moving, you got a little momentum, and then you got to stop because some jerk in front of you doesn't give you enough room, and now you can't move forward.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I got you.
You
got to
take a right turn, and you're at a corner that's kind of uphill.
And you have that slight rollback, and yep. You're like, oh, God.
Yep.
Or you have to take a right turn, and there's cars parked on the street the whole way, so you have to stick your nose into the street and just pray that no cars are speeding down.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I drive a two-wheel drive pickup truck.
Old pickup truck.
Yeah, that. Well, 2005. It's not that old.
I mean, it's kind of old.
That thing
says
looks
Mike
pretty
with a brand
damn
new,
old.
I mean, says Mike with like a brand new car.
I'm shocked. That's a 2005?
Yeah, that actually surprises me. It looks like it's from 1982.
Yeah.
Well, that's just because I've done a lot of damage.
No. Like the style of it.
I don't know if it's the paint job. That's a no.
Well, it is like this weird kind of like
beige-ish
gold color.
It's champagne is the color that Ford told me.
If you are calling your truck color champagne.
Hey, I'm not calling it anything. That is what Ford calls it.
Excuse me, Patrick. You just said it's champagne. You could have.
That's what Ford told me. I'm not trying to lie.
I don't care what Ford calls it. You could have gone along with us and been like, yeah, you're right. It is kind of a weird color. No, you said champagne.
That's on you. That's what it is.
You could have given it like a manly color, like elk horn brown or
elk horn tan.
Yes, exactly. Like something. Masculine, but
no way, baby.
You kept the champagne title.
We be sipping Cristal in the club, my friend.
Now you're just trying to save yourself.
Hey, it's a good, solid little truck. I was really disappointed because Ford
great way to sell your own car. Good, solid little truck.
Ford discontinued the Ford Ranger, and they just announced that they're going to bring the Ford Ranger and the Ford Bronco back.
Ah.
In like 2018, 2019, something like that.
Has the Ford Bronco been gone since OG?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably since the juice went loose.
Someone needs to do some good PR stunt in a Bronco.
Not like, going to happen.
Like an old, like one in an old school, like a white Bronco, like save a life in a Bronco. So that way they can make their comeback a little bit more PR.
Yeah, relevant, I think they're hosed. It's like the Chevy Nova. They tried to sell the Chevy Nova in Mexico, and Nova in Espanol means no go. So it's like, well, that was a bad thing. But I saw that they were re-releasing the Ranger, and I thought to myself, this is perfect. Because in like 2 years, my truck will be toast and I'm ready to get a new one. I'll just buy a new Ford Ranger. And I looked at it, and it's like a Toyota Tundra. It's like the size of a Tundra.
Yeah, it's
like,
huge,
that's
yeah.
not a pickup truck. It's four-doored. It's raised up. And I'm like, I just want a pickup truck.
Well, why don't you just get a F-150 or something?
Because I'm 5'6", and nobody wants to see a 5'6 dude climb out of a pickup truck. And they're like, yeah, I know why that guy's got a truck.
Compensation.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that guy at all. Instead, I got my little humble pickup truck that gets me from point A to point B. And I'll tell you what.
And it's a 2005 that's going on in 1982. Let me tell you.
I'll tell you what. I have moved probably 20 times with that truck.
Okay. Cool.
I can fit everything I own in the back of that truck. As that was coming out of my mouth, it did not sound very
good. Nope. What does that say? That you're in a small pickup truck and you can fit everything you own in it.
Bachelor.
Except not really.
Except not really. This kid clearly doesn't have kids or life aspirations. He does not hold on to much. As long as he can fit his like records and I don't know.
Also, moving 20 times is a lot.
Well, hey, man, I was in college.
Okay. 20 times is a lot.
Well, let's think about it. I probably moved 6 or 7 times between 2006 and 2011, and then I've probably moved maybe 4 more times, so probably more like 10.
Yeah, it's still a lot.
Still a lot.
That's a lot of moving, man.
I hate moving.
I've moved, well, after moving across the country to live here, I've moved once. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
I'm jealous.
Settle
Mike.
Into your home.
Since you've lived here, I've moved 4 times.
Okay. It happens.
Hey, but it's all right. I just got a new place. I'm really excited about it. And so I'm moving again. And I was talking with my new landlord, and he was like, you can move in whenever you want. And I'd love to move in tomorrow. Like, it'd be so rad. But can you imagine loading up my little truck tomorrow
with
in
all this
garbage?
I know, right?
There's 40 pounds of packed snow in the back of my truck.
Really?
I had to dig out the truck because it was all snowed
right.
in from
that
all
makes
the
sense.
Snow. And so I just took all the snow and shoveled it in the back and all stomped right. it down to get some weight.
Okay, so now you need to clear that eventually because it turned into ice, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm not going to clear anything. Oh. I'm going to let Mother Nature do its thing. Okay. What's wrong with a little extra weight in the back? Okay, so I go from 24 miles to the gallon to 23.5. I don't really care.
Now, this is going to sound stupid, but is it possible that if it was perfectly sealed, which I'm sure it's not, that since we're having a ton of rain today,
which and I love
tomorrow. Yeah, just it gets rid of all the snow, thankfully. Could it just fill with water? If it melted it enough and it was completely sealed, would your trunk just be filled with water? Your trunk, your bed?
Yeah, well, if it was fully sealed.
Yeah. That'd be totally crazy. If you went back out to your car and you pulled away and there was just like water flying out of the back of your truck.
Well, funny enough, one time in college, we took my buddy's truck. And
one time at band camp.
And we layered it with tarps. And it was like 100 degrees in Pullman. And so we layered the back of his truck with tarps and filled it up with the hose. And we had a little pool.
The Pullman pool.
That we sat in and drank beer.
Can we call that the Pullman pool?
Yeah, we sat in and drank beer.
That sounds like a very Pullman thing to me.
Shout out to my boy Wes, who's definitely not listening, for he lives in San Francisco and cares nothing about, quote, sports ball.
Oh, God.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Everybody's got that friend, right?
Yeah.
Sports ball.
Except they call it sports ball just to piss you off, because right. they actually know what it is.
It doesn't piss me off. I'm like, yeah, I love sports ball, especially when you kick around. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
I put hockey on the TV, sorry.
I know, and I got so lost.
I don't know if you actually like hockey or not, but
I kind of like hockey. I don't necessarily understand it all. It kind of reminds me of soccer a little bit.
Yeah. It's similar.
But I looked up and I saw it was 5-4, and like I would in a soccer game, I would go, huh.
Yeah, there's still 17 minutes left in this game.
I don't think it's supposed to be that.
There was an 8-7 game yesterday, Dallas and the Rangers.
Oh, I think I saw some of that. All the guys at work, they're all huge hockey guys. Did I tell you this? I walked in and was like,
you
got
to watch hockey now.
I was like, oh, I'm the big sports guy. If you need anything, you just let me know. I watch all sports. I know everything, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, do you like hockey? I was like, not really. They were like, oh, man, you're not going to work here. What's your team, man? I'm like, the Winter Hawks? And they're like, dude, NHL, man, we're not talking minor league. And they look at you like you're stupid, you know? Like if you were like, yeah, I'm a baseball fan, my favorite team is the Durham Bulls, they'd be like, majors?
Who?
Yeah. My favorite NFL team is Texas A&M. That doesn't work that way.
Nope.
All right. Oakley. Well, I'm hoping this is the first of many consistent shows from here on out. I got a good feeling about that. Are triple doubles a dying stat? That's something I thought of the other day that I want to get into in 45 minutes. At the top of the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into the NFL, preview some championship games and all that kind of jazz. We'll spend most of this first hour on some baseball love because, well, we love baseball. You can always text the show at 55305. That lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at pdiddy085. Mike is at Mike Lynch 27, and our fantastic producer, Mr. Joseph Fisher III, is at Joe Fish 3. That's F-I-S-C-H. Harass us. We love it. Well, Hall of Fame came out today. Class of 2017 was announced, and usually I get really jacked about it. This year, maybe not so much. We'll do that next. You're listening to The Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
This is The Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
717 here on 1080 The Fan, Portland sports leader. This is The Hot Corner. Hall of Fame came out today. 2017
It snuck
class.
Up on me. I didn't know until today that it was happening.
Yeah. I knew it was coming. I got really excited. I don't know why I really got excited. Looking at the list, I mean, there's no one really to get excited about.
I know. Well, that's because every other Hall of Fame is a joke, I feel like. It's not a joke
to be...
this
one's not far behind.
Inducted. Well, see, I don't think so. The other ones are a joke in terms of, like, any sort of excitement level. Like, it happens and you're like, oh, okay, cool.
And the basketball one is the most ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For some reason, it's different in baseball. Where you're right, it could be considered a joke because of many different reasons. But the most fun with the Baseball Hall of Fame is there's conversations about what it takes to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other sports, it just seems like, oh, you get in. It's like an Oprah show.
You were a superstar for a long time, so you're in.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's some average Joe who was in the league for 26 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he's in the hall. Oh, okay, sure, whatever. But in baseball, it's like this constant argument about the steroid users and stats and whether or not they're a good guy and whether or not that means anything.
Apparently it means a lot if you're Curt Schilling.
Exactly.
But I'll keep on that for a sec, Mike. Then I'll ask you, why is it that the Baseball Hall of Fame is different? Is it because since the beginning it's been more of a reputable Hall of Fame as opposed to the NFL,
I think,
or to football or basketball Hall of Fames being kind of laissez-faire?
I think it's a lot stats-based, to be honest with you. I mean,
baseball stat-based.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is in the other sports, sure, stats are great, but people are judged on their titles in both. If we're talking about the two other majors, NFL and NBA, you're judged on your titles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody cares about Tom Brady's stats. They go, oh, you've won, what is it now, 4 Super Bowls.
Right.
In the NBA, you don't care about someone's stats. You go, look at all the NBA titles that these players have won.
Right, like Dan Marino doesn't get enough credit because he doesn't have a ring.
Right, but he was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Right.
But in baseball, nobody cares how many World Series you've won. It's stat-based.
Right.
Baseball is the most stat-based sport of them all.
Ken Griffey Jr. is the highest voted member of the Hall of Fame and never sniffed a World Series.
Exactly. I think that's the difference. And but I think it's the stats side of it that's the most important, is you look at stats to judge a player in baseball more than any other sport. And that's what makes the Hall of Fame so interesting, because ultimately it should be a stats-based thing.
Well, then coming in today in the 2017 Hall of Fame inductees that I'm sure you've heard on updates throughout the day, and basically if you live in a hole, you didn't hear it, but everyone else did. Jeff Bagwell gets in with his third year on the ballot, I believe. And Tim Raines gets in on his last eligibility.
Yep.
And Pudge Yvonne Rodriguez gets in on his first. We got a first ballot Hall of Famer this year.
There you go. Yeah, you said underwhelming. I would agree. I love Pudge, and being a former catcher in high school, I have a little bit of a brethren with catchers, cheaters or not.
And I believe catcher is probably a top five hardest position in all of sports.
Yeah, I would
not
say.
Not just baseball, but sports.
I would say so.
Because not only do you have to hit, but you got to command a staff, run the infield, play defense. It's a lot to ask.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But because of that, it's like I liked Pudge growing up. I liked watching him. So, I mean, I'm happy he got in, but Tim Raines and Jeff Bagwell, really? You know, what?
Well, right. Well, let's
go from having Griffey and Piazza to Tim Raines and Jeff Bagwell and Pudge.
And before that was Biggio, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, and John Smoltz.
I know. And Biggio was the outsider in that one.
Yeah, on his second year on the ballot. Those other dudes were first ballots. Let's start with Tim Raines. This vote for Tim Raines is like one of two sides, if not both. It's, oh, I feel bad. It's his last year on the ballot. Let's put him in. Or it's, you know what? Screw Bonds and Clemens. Screw all those dudes. I'm voting for Tim Raines. Either way, that doesn't make you a Hall of Famer.
I know. And it's, to me, this is a pity vote almost.
It's gotta be.
Because if you look at Tim Raines' stats, can you really say that Tim Raines is a Hall of Famer?
No.
Tim Raines hit .294 in his career. Very good batting average.
Good batting average.
He had 170 home runs, had 980 RBIs, so you know, he's got good numbers. He led
2605 hits.
Led the league in stolen bases four straight years. He was, you know, Ricky Henderson's counterpart, if you will.
Yeah, poor man Ricky.
But he's not Ricky Henderson.
Mm-mm.
Who's the Hall of Famer of those two? Ricky Henderson. Tim Raines was a great player. But when, and don't get me wrong, I am not an expert on Tim Raines. You know, I was born in the late 80s, so I missed most of his career in Montreal, and I didn't really watch him until he was with the Yankees, honestly, in the late 90s. But even just looking at the numbers, and this is kind of how I look at the Hall of Fame. If I watch you, and Rob said this earlier, and I agreed with him, if I watch you and say that's a Hall of Famer, that's a Hall of Famer, right? There's a certain kind, it's not just stats-based, there's a certain kind of everything else that comes with it, the mojo and the impact on your team.
That's how I feel the whole thing should be.
Right.
Is you look at a guy and you say, is that guy a Hall of Famer? Yes, you're in. Any other answer than yes is not a Hall of Famer.
Maybe.
Maybe. No.
Yeah.
No, that's not good enough for me.
So it's tough because the Hall of Fame has always been like this. So there's a lot of guys who are probably undeserving in that mindset to be in the Hall of Fame. But look, it's hard for me to speak on Tim Raines specifically. I can just look at the numbers, but I look at these and I go, he's not a Hall of Famer.
He looks good.
He was
sure.
On the ballot for 10 years. You're telling me a Hall of Fame player needs 10 full years on the ballot to make it to the Hall of Fame.
And before 10, it was 15.
That's a joke.
Like Alan Trammell didn't make it for 15 years.
Right.
And it's
and Dale Murphy didn't make it
because
after 10
they're
years.
Not Hall of Famers.
Right.
Because that's how it is.
Now, in how the Hall of Fame is made, they are Hall of Famers because they're better than some guys that are in there. But in what my opinion of what the Hall of Fame should be, they're certainly not. And that kind of leads me to Jeff Bagwell, too. Jeff Bagwell's numbers are incredible. They really are.
They're sneaky good.
They're mind. Look,
I don't think you realize
he almost hit 300. He was .297, 449 home runs, of course. But when I watched Jeff Bagwell, never in my life watching Jeff Bagwell did I go, he's a Hall of Famer. Never. I went, holy crap, look at his biceps and his weird batting stance. And it's cool that he's part of the Killer Bees with him and Biggio and Berkman and Beltran in Houston. How cool. But sorry, you're not a Hall of Famer. That was my initial thought with Jeff Bagwell. Do his numbers say he's a Hall of Famer? Sure, of course. But to me, I mean, no. So fact that he had the most percentage of the vote this year is surprising to me.
Right. I mean, he's got an OPS of 948. Which is better than anyone since, let's see, sorry, I'm looking at all these crazy
stats. He
did
win an MVP and a Rookie of the Year.
Frank Thomas in 14 has better. And like that's it through like 2009, right. Something like that.
Look, again, me saying I don't think you're a Hall of Famer doesn't mean that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Clearly his numbers are deserving. Clearly he's made enough impact on all the voters he's deserving. But when I watched him, I never once went, what a great Hall of Fame player. I went, wow, that guy is huge. He's probably on steroids.
I wonder why that guy's huge.
And he hits a lot of home runs and he's fun to watch. That's what I saw when I saw Jeff Bagwell. When you watch King Griffey Jr., when you watched Mike Piazza, you go, wow, that guy's a Hall of Famer.
Pedro Martinez.
John Smoltz.
Chipper's on the ballot next year.
Yeah. Now, when I watched Pudge Rodriguez, I went, that guy's a Hall of Famer.
I did so too.
He was, I mean, he's not the best. You could probably say he's top five, top four catcher of all time. You know, Johnny Bench and
Carlton Fisk.
But I think you put Pudge. Yogi. Yeah, I think you could put Pudge top five.
I think you can make the argument he's number one. I think you could.
You could.
He's got more gold gloves than Johnny Bench.
He's a little bit of a compiler. He was in the league forever.
21 years, yeah.
But he was known as the best catcher in the game from when he basically entered in the early 90s until late thousands when he was winding down his career. People universally said Pudge Rodriguez is one of the best catchers in baseball right now and of all time.
While he was playing. Yeah, you always know it's something when somebody's still playing and they're like, that guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's how I felt watching Pudge. I was shocked he made it first ballot because he has steroid connections legit.
Like massive.
Yeah.
He played in Texas with Canseco and Juan Gonzalez and Palmeiro.
And Ken Caminiti.
And Caminiti and A-Rod. I mean,
yes.
Come on.
So that is one shock of mine that he made it first ballot with that, which is a whole other conversation about, holy cow, the steroid users are going to get in. You see Bonds and Clemens today up to 50, mid-50s on their third year.
I did see that.
Both of them are making the Hall of Fame.
I actually thought they were going to be a little bit higher.
Me too, but the people who weren't sharing their votes on Twitter were the ones who aren't voting for them.
right. And there's a text that came in on the fan text line at 55305, kind of talking about Yogi Berra not being a first ballot Hall of Famer, DiMaggio not being first ballot. What you have to realize back in the day is the Hall of Fame opened after a lot of those guys played. So there's a huge log jam. They got to get guys in before they can put in more modern era dudes. DiMaggio is a top 10 player of all time. He's not a first ballot because they had to put in Babe Ruth still. And Ty Cobb went in the year before.
I feel like it's a stupid system, to be honest with you. Like, that's why Tim Raines got in, because it's his last year on the ballot. That's why Trevor Hoffman probably didn't get in today.
Because he still can
Trevor
get in
Hoffman
next
is
year.
The second best closer of all time, and he missed by 5 votes. 5.
Yeah. That's because more than
I assume because people were giving their 10th vote to Tim Raines because it was his last year. Yeah. That's stupid.
Super dumb. Super dumb. Man. Ugh. More Hall of Fame chatter next on 1080 The Fan. Keep pounding that fan text line at 55305 with your thoughts, and we'll get back to some more of this. I kind of want to talk some steroid stuff, guys that missed, a little Edgar Martinez chat, and what we can look forward to next year. But first, here's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
7:34 here on the Hot Corner.
This sounds like an Eminem beat almost.
After
has
dark.
The same kind of style to it.
It does. What is this, Joe?
The complete opposite of Eminem.
Vanilla Ice?
No.
Well, he's still white, so that wouldn't be complete opposite.
Well, why not? One's top 10 all time and one's top 10 worst all time.
Was it like ASAP Rocky or something?
Young Thug.
Oh, God.
This is
mumble rap guy, isn't it?
It is, but man.
Sherba derp.
I don't know who his producers are, but man, they're good. Make some bangers.
Problem is that over them, they're going.
Sherba derp derp.
Turn into Bob Dylan.
Money's good, probably. I'm sure he is paying them real good. Yeah, what is that? Scat is.
Yeah, they're
music.
Not turning into like 60s scat artists over here.
Well, I mean, there's a case right there, like scat music, like that's music, and they're not even saying words, just.
Yeah, but there's something to be said about the talent of that. It's like beatboxing.
There's also a musical aspect to it, not literally mumbling words because you think it's cool.
Yeah, scat, you gotta like stick with the beat, and you have inflection, and you're trying to follow along with the music going with you instead
These mumble rappers, they got to drink a lot of syrup to get to that point.
It is scissorp.
Excuse me.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, that purple stuff, that pink Sprite.
Purple drank.
Yeah, no.
Drank. That's coming from a kid who drives a little pickup truck.
A white guy from Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, man, you can take the kid out the ghetto, man. You can take him out. You can take him out all you want. We were talking some Hall of Fame stuff as things come out today. Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, and Pudge Rodriguez get in for the first time. And you started to mention this, Mike, a little bit.
It's 5-5, by the way, in the hockey game.
Cool.
Sorry.
You started to mention this a little bit in the last segment talking about Bonds and Clemens kind of climbing the charts. Yeah. I'm interested how, I mean, I tweeted this out earlier today that the Hall of Fame has clearly decided to shun steroid users, i.e. or people massively linked like a Bonds or a Clemens. And I would even throw Manny Ramirez in that as well, because I think Manny, when I watched him, was a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He's just been popped twice. It seems that, yeah, they're gaining momentum. I saw the stat on MLB Network today. There are 14 new writers this year, younger writers that had a vote for the Hall of Fame, and 13 of the 14 voted for both Bonds and Clemens.
Okay.
So what I just don't understand is, if you're going to take the line on the steroid guys, or the massively linked steroid guys, I should say, how does somebody like Jeff Bagwell and Pudge Rodriguez get in? How does Pudge Rodriguez get in on his first ballot?
Right, so that's interesting, but I think it's tied to the increase in the votes for Bonds and Clemens. Did you honestly ever think you would see those two with the 56% of the vote?
No.
Their first year on the ballot, they were in the 20s. Yeah. And you were like, that makes sense because they're very heavily tied to steroids.
Right. You can go back and check the tape. And I know in earlier days, in the very infancy stage of the Hot Corner, I am on record saying no to all steroid dudes. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. But I see the landscapes changing. I get it. I just still don't feel good about it. But I'm tired of arguing about it. So let's just put these dudes in and everybody will know anyway.
Time heals all wounds.
Well, that's been my big take on this. And we talked about this on primetime when we were doing the show in December, because we were seeing the ballots come in. It's in the past. You know, the more the time goes by, the more people forget. Every single player, really every single person, is glorified the further away you get from a bad event.
Right. I mean, I know what you're saying. Joe said.
Right. I'll go like super dark and be like, at a funeral, a really bad person's going to get the most glowing praise ever.
True.
Because they may be removed from that situation for X amount of years, whatever the case may be. We are now, 8 years removed from their careers, right? So they've been on the ballot for 3 years. So 8 years removed from their career. And for both of them, honestly, you know, 10, 11 years removed from the major, even maybe more than that, major steroid allegations. That's a long time.
It's a very long time.
And I think we are now looking at them with the kind of the rose-colored glasses a little bit and saying they had some of the best stats ever. They're two of the best players of all time. How on earth can we leave these two people out?
You could argue one's the greatest hitter of all time, and you could argue the other is the greatest right-hander of all time.
Yeah, you could. You probably should.
You could.
And yeah.
At least with Bonds.
Yeah. So I think the distance from it is making it easier to vote for them because the anger's gone. I was among many in being very angry at these players because I think part of it was because I was a kid watching them too. So I've talked about this on the show before. They weren't my idols per se, but they were people that I looked up to and I watched and I enjoyed, and I thought they were doing it the right way. I was very angry when I found out they had cheated. They had lied to me.
Yeah,
it was like a personal attack on me.
My heart broke when I saw the story that Manny Ramirez failed the drug test. Like my heart broke. Just right. Absolutely broke.
Right. And so I think there was a lot of anger in a lot of people. And I'm just saying for me because I was young, but for a lot of these writers, they weren't. But mm-hmm. covering the game, you know, fighting for them. Maybe there was allegations. They were like, no, I know Bonds. He's a great guy. He would never do it. You know, those kind of things. You're angry. Anger fades. It always does.
Right.
And honestly, I think we're all, as baseball fans, accepting the fact that the steroid era happened. And I think acceptance leads to, you know, more mercy in these kind of voting things.
Okay. I understand that. But
and it proves today. Two people, one with very clear ties in Pudge, and
very
one
clear ties,
who looked like he was on steroids, and Jeff Bagwell, and shocked he doesn't have more than just he looked like it, but, you know,
right.
Whatever. Two assumed steroid users made it in their first and second ballot, and Jeff right. Bagwell got 93% of the vote.
Right. I'm willing to leave Bagwell out of this question. Out of this
just because
conversation, just because outside of looking like it, we've purely never
conjecture.
Really heard anything connected to him. I mean, he clearly looks like it. When you have thighs that huge,
when
and
your biceps
are bigger than your thighs, yeah. and you have that crouched batting stance, and you're still hitting bomb after bomb, sure, I'm a little worried. But there's never been any really like Balco or Biogenesis kind of things linked to him. To where Pudge Rodriguez, I mean, people want to say Mike Piazza did steroids. Well, if he did steroids, Pudge Rodriguez founded steroids. You know what I mean? And so if you're gonna, I'm okay with turning a blind eye, and I'm kind of okay with the fact that these steroid guys are getting a little more love. But there's no way you can tell me that it's okay that Bonds and Clemens have 50% of the vote and you're putting Pudge in first ballot. You know, Rafael Palmeiro's not even on the ballot anymore.
I know.
He's not even on the ballot anymore. Yeah. And that guy's got 500 home runs and 3,000 hits.
Well, in some cases, it's a case of bad timing, right?
Yeah.
Like, because Bonds and Clemens played for much longer, they're going to get lucky because the anger is fading. And they're getting into the Hall of Fame. It is very It is very rare that a player has over 50% of the vote and doesn't make it into the Hall of Fame. And Bonds and Clemens have went from 20 to 35 to 56 this year.
I will say though, if there's any two guys, if there's any people that could defy that stat, it'd be these two.
Well, yeah, but when you see them climbing for three straight years, and like you've said, Bagwell and Pudge going in, that's a clear signal of, look, it's over. You know, the constant, it's not over. There's still plenty of voters who are not voting for anybody because they don't want to vote for anyone from this era. But it's over in the fact that all these people are just going to say no because of the steroids.
Well, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead, Joe.
Just looking at the names that they added this year and then thinking of what will be added next year, I think Mike said Chipper Jones on
Chipper
the prime time.
And Jim Thome are the two big ones.
Omar Vizquel also being added. Just saw it. We'll get into that a little bit. But yeah.
Just looking at the landscape of this year and how many first time ballots they had and kind of the meh names on there, like Freddie Sanchez, Melvin Mora, like pass.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, anybody who's been in it for, you know, X amount of years and is retired for 5 years is on it.
Right, exactly. But I mean, it seemed like a lot of first year guys on there. So after a while, yeah, I think the sentiment will be like, well, Bonds and Clemens, like people will check them because of just seeing that they were better players. Steroids are not, honestly.
Well, and I think this year's list just goes to show how much of an impasse the Hall of Fame is right now. Because people don't know who to vote for. They don't know what stand they want to take. They are starting to come off the high horse of steroids, myself included.
I used to be pretty high horsey about it.
People are starting to get a little more lax, but there's still so much, I don't know, discrepancies in everybody's thought process that now we're at the point that our Hall of Fame class last year is Griffey and Piazza. The year before is Biggio, Randy Johnson, potentially the greatest lefty of all time, Pedro Martinez, who may have some of the best stuff of all time, and John Smoltz. And then before that is Tom Glavin and Greg Maddux and Frank Thomas. And this year we have Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, and Pudge Rodriguez.
I said Bagwell at 90, by the way, 86 for Bagwell. I misread it. But yeah, that's nuts. It is very underwhelming.
It just shows how convoluted and how lost people are.
Because,
I mean, Trevor Hoffman is clearly a Hall of Famer to me. And I think Vladimir Guerrero is a Hall of Famer too. And those guys are left off.
Right.
There was a texter on the fan text line at 55305 that said if Hoffman got in, would this list look sexier? Yes.
Yeah.
Because
he would
then
be the sexiest name.
Because
on
then
it.
I can tell you there is for sure 100% a guy on here that deserves to be on here.
I think Pudge would be sexier than him personally. But again, I think a lot of people forget how good Pudge was, steroid connection or not.
Steroids.
But I think he'd be sexier than Hoffman. But yeah, the fact that, you know, Tim Raines gets on and Vlad doesn't get on, it's a broken system.
Right.
You know next year Vlad's getting into the Hall of Fame.
Well,
you know next year it's going to be Chipper Jones, Trevor Hoffman, Vlad Guerrero, most likely Jim Thome, and that's probably it.
Probably it.
You know, I told Patrick before, I'm curious if Jim Thome makes it first or second ballot. It's probably going to be close, but he'll make it.
He'll get in.
Right. And then, I mean, it might not be first ballot.
Right,
but I think it might be first ballot next year is what I'm saying. And then Vizquel, that's going to be the big question mark guy because Vizquel has been great forever, right? He was a great shortstop, but
like 25 years.
If you look at his numbers, and I think I saw a lot of like sabermetric people saying it's bad. Like he doesn't hold up to any of the great shortstops ever.
Right, right.
So,
well, that's what I want to get into next. I mean, we might talk Hall of Fame for 2 hours.
Well, who knows? It's easy to do.
Yeah. When we come back, I kind of want to look ahead to next year and some of that kind of stuff. You're listening to The Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is The Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Don't mind the vacuum noise again.
I was going to say, can you hear the vacuum noise?
I wonder if it goes over the air or not. We can hear it clearly because it's going under the door, but...
Every once in a while, they'll walk in the door.
Yep.
Like, I always love it when there's a studio next to us that's usually dark because we're here after dark, and they'll go in to clean it and the light flips on. You're like, oh God, what's going on?
And then they look in to see if anyone's in here because they see, well, it happened multiple times and the red light is on, mm-hmm. which signifies that we are on the air.
Right.
And multiple times people had walked in and were like, they didn't even look up. One time you were out, you were out. I was sitting in your chair.
Yeah.
A guy walked in. I'm talking, mind you. On the air talking, he walks in, doesn't lift his head, walks towards the table, and then I said, hey, I'm on the air, and he looks up and goes, okay, sorry, and then he left. And I'm like, the red light is on, dude. Come on.
So wait, that happened mid-segment?
Yeah. You were here, Joe.
I don't remember this, you talking to him in mid-segment saying, hey, I'm on the air, sir.
No, I was here, and I was like, hey, hello.
Excuse me, sir. This recycling bin is like a quarter full. Yeah. You can get it tomorrow.
Yeah, please.
We've been talking Hall of Fame, and we may keep talking Hall of Fame because this stuff's always really fun. And the fan text line at 55305 has been kind of blowing up. So I do want to take some time at some point to read some of those because everybody gets really fired up and there's a lot of really cool takes on there. But I kind of want to, for the moment, start to think about next year.
So keep them coming in because we'll get to them.
Yeah, keep coming in because we'll find you guys and we'll read them. I want to get to next year a little bit and we can... chat for a moment. Let's start with guys on the ballot that could make it yet next year. And I'm essentially going to go from Manny Ramirez to Trevor Hoffman, only because everybody below Manny is not a bona fide Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Manny's got steroid ties.
Look, Manny is 23. Manny's not making the Hall of Fame,
which is ridiculous.
I know it is, but
he's so good.
Although I guess it's only his second year in the ballot, so I guess if they start to loosen the reins on the steroid guys, make it in the future.
The second Barry Bonds gets in the Hall of Fame, Manny Ramirez better be right behind him.
Yeah, I hope so. Because Manny was a Hall of Famer.
He's a top five hitter of the last 20 years. Anyway, so we're looking at Trevor Hoffman, Vladimir Guerrero, probably the best player on this list in Edgar Martinez, outside of Clemens and Bonds, Mike Mussina, Curt Schilling, Manny Ramirez. So of those guys, who gets in next year? We decided Hoffman and Guerrero probably.
Hoffman and Guerrero are in for sure. The rest, I'm not sure because...
The Clemens and Bonds things, man, we'll never know until they get in.
I guess the problem is, you know, Edgar's only got, 2 years left, right? Next year will be his ninth year on the ballot. If worse, I said this to a texter, especially for Edgar. I think the David Ortiz effect is going to have a very positive effect for Edgar Martinez. David Ortiz is going to make the Hall of Fame. He is.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's retired.
Probably first ballot.
And people are coming to grips with the fact that David Ortiz is going to make the Hall of Fame. They're looking at Edgar saying, why are we keeping a DH out if we're about to put a DH in 4 years?
Right.
I really think that's happening. Because before... You know, when Edgar was on the ballot, it was like he's the only DH who would even possibly be worthy of being on there. So many DHs were 32-year-old aging players who couldn't play in the field but could still hit 30 bombs a year. And then you get a lifer in Ortiz who now at, he's 40, is still hitting 40 home runs a year.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why. But still, now that he's retired, I have a feeling that that's going to help push Edgar into it. So it's probably, honestly, for Edgar, it'll probably be 10th year thing. I feel like it'll be similar to the Tim Raines pity vote in that sense where people are like, oh my God, finally, but I'm actually going to sit there and go, he deserves to be in. It's not a pity vote. It's a awakening vote.
Yeah. I was going to ask you like this year, Tim Raines, clearly we both agree that seems like such a sympathy vote, but Edgar getting in on 10th, is that more of like a Jesus, why did it take you guys this long? Because I think a lot of the big baseball guys, like your Rosenthals, your Onlys, your Haymans, all those guys think he should have been. They've been voting for him for years.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at his stats and you compare him to Tim Raines, minus the stolen bases, he's better than Tim Raines was.
Dude, Edgar is a top 10 hitter of the last 20 years. Right. And I know I keep saying that, but that's because we're talking about the Hall of Fame.
Right. I'm just saying is that they're putting Raines in. And if we're going to, because it's already his eighth year on the ballot, we're going to compare the two.
Yeah.
He's got better stats, minus stolen bases. So
yeah, it'll be interesting. I'll bet you Edgar finishes somewhere like Vlad, 71%, a few votes shy. Let's see. Mike Mussina's on this list.
That's a strange one.
That's so tricky.
I loved
Moose.
Like adore Mike Mussina. I'm sure Joe does too, yep. being a former Oriole.
And adore is a good word.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Mussina was
dude, man.
Everything. He was like my favorite Yankee for years. He was the best. And he completely learned how to be a pitcher versus a hard thrower when he lost his stuff. Mm-hmm. And he created the knuckle curve. And it was incredible. The knuckle curve
is so sick. Not to mention, I always love when he was done with his release, he positioned his body to be ready to play.
Yeah.
Like his glove was in between his legs on the ground, ready to catch ground balls.
But I'm
they
sorry.
They teach you in Little League. They teach you in T-ball.
Yeah, but nobody else does that. Maddox kind of did it.
But I'm sorry, Mike Mussina's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Moose.
I love
he's
Moose,
He's not
too.
A Hall of Famer.
No. Yeah, you look at him and you're like, man, I really like that like, guy, but he's hey. Not a
Kurt Schilling's more of a Hall of Famer than Mussina is.
By far.
And he's getting less of the vote because he's a douche.
Because he's a super right. douche.
But I want to share you my favorite thing from the internet, and it has to do with Kurt Schilling. I was telling Patrick about this earlier.
Oh, I saw this.
How he got in a fight with a fake Sidney Ponsone Twitter account.
Yep.
And literally in the bio, his location was not really Sid.
Yep. And someone was telling Schilling that, and Schilling's like, no, I know it's him. Trust me, I know it's him. Like going insane. I just pictured him like ravenously typing, massively drunk.
The worst part
by the
about
way,
it,
vote for me for next senator of New York.
The worst part about it is literally people started to side with him and they're like, Ponsone, get a life, man. You bum.
Yeah. See, that's why, look, Schilling's better than Mussina was. And he's not going to get in because he's a douche. I don't think
he ever gets in?
No, I don't think
Where's
so.
Where's love for my boy Jeff Kent? I saw someone text in earlier about that.
Dude, I heard that Jeff Kent is more of a jerk than Ty Cobb.
What?
Barry Bonds once tried to fight Jeff Kent. Let's put it that way.
Hey, the Swiss Army knife, Jeff Kent? Are you kidding me? He's a stud.
Oh, man, I don't know about that. But so you think Schilling's no, Moose is a no.
Do you think if
Clemens and Bonds gets in with Pudge and all this stuff, can Manny Ramirez get in?
Yeah. Look, I forgot. It's his second ballot.
Oh, so yeah. He's got plenty of time.
If they get in, and it looks like both Clemens and Bonds will, next year, I'm not sure, but in the future, of course, it looks like they're trending that way, then I could see Manny Ramirez getting in too, for sure. Because, I mean, and Suk talked about this. They have this thing called the Hall of Fame career standard score. 50 is your average Hall of Famer. Manny Ramirez is a 69 on that.
Yeah.
0 to 100. So the only people better on who were there this year were Bonds and Clemens. And near it was Sheffield, which is very strange. Gary Sheffield was a 61, by the way. I don't understand that, but steroids.
Looking at stats real quick, Manny Ramirez has 1,800 RBIs.
Ah, good.
I believe Bonds has the most. No, Hank has the most.
Well, Bonds has 1996.
But still, Manny's right behind
Hank
him at
has 1831. Off the top of my head. Yeah.
All right. Well, when we come back, I want to look at the first time guys coming on, some familiar names you'll know and some fun names. I always like looking at this just for some dudes that you're like, hey, that guy's pretty cool. That's next on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.